Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. If you are a KMOX person and you are listening to 1120, you should check out 98.7 on the FM dial. Much, much better, especially if you're anywhere around Highway 40 between the rivers. But it goes out pretty far down south and up north. You can download the Odyssey app onto your phone and use it in your car, use it at home, and then there's just no better sound. It's just absolutely perfect digital sound. Question.
Okay.
So I'm here as opposed to Colorado, as I said at the top of the hour, because Phoebe has an abscess in her tonsil. And on Thursday, we had to go to the emergency room for about 6 hours, which is probably about normal in an emergency room, especially when you're getting CT scans and stuff like she was. But I spent a lot of time in the waiting room. Is it wrong to talk about people's stories in the emergency room when they're on their phone talking super loud so that everyone has to hear them?
I mean, they're putting their stuff out there in public.
Oh, mm-hmm. Baby, did they put it out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. This lady, her story to her friends on her phone was that for the second time, she had been kicked off an American Airlines flight for being too high. And she's supposed to fly again tomorrow and needed some sort of doctor's excuse and for her to go to an emergency room. Does that sound real at all?
To go to the ER?
Yeah. Crazy.
She needed an excuse to get on the plane.
Back on the plane. She kept calling people and bitching and moaning and telling the story.
And you have to fly American?
I mean, yeah, I guess you can go to Southwest and pretend you're not all wide. Then she was the person who annoyed all of us the most because she was very entitled. Maybe she's not so entitled when she's not so high, but she was very entitled and she never heard the word triage because the nurse was like, well, you went through triage and there are some people here who are, you know, more emergent and sick than you. And so that's how we take it. It's not first come, first serve. But she complained so much that they gave her some medication. Now, I don't know what kind of don't be high medication they have back there. Mm-hmm.
They give her like 2 aspirin.
But they were giving her stuff.
Hmm.
I just thought it was a fascinating story.
Were they the just shut up pills?
Could be.
Yeah, they make little sugar pills for you.
There is a thing like in emergency rooms where if triage can just give you some pills to shut you up and make you go away,
they'll do
and
it.
Not take up everyone else's spot. It's like, yeah. All right. You're clearly fine.
Well, it's like her back
You're
was
just like having
her
a freak back. Out or
and look, I'm being a little hard on her, but I mean, her back was hurting because she had been sitting in the very same chairs we were all sitting in for an hour, and she wanted some pain pills, which I'm not sure is the greatest thing to do when American Airlines kicked you off their flight for being too high.
And she was fresh off of this American Airlines flight.
It appeared to be.
Okay.
Yeah, it appeared to be.
No, I don't think it's wrong for you to tell her business because she told everybody else.
I'm glad that now. So
I had something similar yesterday. Wife and I stopped for lunch on the way back from the lake, and we're sitting there, and this guy is with his like wife and 2 kids at a table, like not far from us, pretty close to us, and he is like just letting these kids every little thing these kids do. He's like really getting like upset with them. The kid dropped like a pretzel stick on the ground. And the dad's like, we are never, ever going out to eat ever again. You know, I got to pay for this. You know, I got to pay for this. To like this 1-year-old kid. He's like, you know, I have to pay for that when you do that, right? You know, I'm still paying for it. And now it's just going in the trash. And like the wife is clearly just like, you know, hands folded, looking down, like not wanting to get involved. And he's just letting these kids have it every time something would happen. And it was like really making us uncomfortable. And I guess the question is not so much like, is that okay? Because it's obvious it's not. It's not really okay to be like that at all, even in private, in my opinion. But like my wife kept trying to get involved and I kept telling her like, don't get involved. It's, you know what I mean? Let's just.
I only got involved one time. And it was with a woman who was at an IHOP and she was doing the same kind of thing. Mm. And I couldn't take it anymore. And it's been years and years. I don't remember exactly what I said to her, but it didn't go well. She just turned it around on me and complained to the manager. And the manager had seen the whole thing and I just left. But at some point, I just couldn't take it.
Well, and that's what I told her once we got in the car. I was like, look, I mean, maybe on the way out, you say something. But it's like, there's no way, like, we're going to be seen as the aggressors in the situation, even though we would feel maybe differently. And there's no way that it ends without us just like up and leaving, you know?
Yeah, there's no way that guy is going to go like, oh, you know what? You just made an excellent mm-hmm. point. I will change my behavior now.
Yeah, he's
you know?
Not going to be like, oh, you're so right. I'm being a little harsh on this one-year-old that I'm yelling in the face of for making me waste money.
On another completely unrelated stream of consciousness Dave story, I find myself fantasizing about things that I hate. I do not like to be alone. And I've always been like that, and it's I kind of know why, and it's lots of therapy reasons and such, but like our friend Trish loves to be alone,
yeah.
Was alone for years, like she didn't see another person for 18 years during COVID, and I'm the opposite. I would much rather be with someone. I don't like being alone. However, I love the aesthetic of things like on my TikTok, they started showing these people who work at fire towers in Colorado and Montana, and you are literally by yourself. You're in this beautiful place. You can bring your dogs. You have some type of television and video games, and it's just your job to make sure that there aren't any fires. If there are, you report them. That looks so good to me, and yet I know. By evening time, I'm done. Like Phoebe said, Dad, you should just go to Colorado. Just you go. I'm fine. Jump in the truck. You need it. You've been taking care of Grandma. You go. And I thought about it for half a second, but I knew I would get there, even being in a beautiful place and be miserable. Where do you guys fall along that continuum?
I think a vacation is tough. I know people who like go on vacation by themselves and have an amazing time. I'm generally pretty fine with being by myself, but I think a trip would be actually worse because it's like you have this expectation of like, we're going to go hit the town. We're going to do things together. And then it's like you're by yourself, like going to every meal by yourself. That'd be tough. But as far as just like day to day hanging out in my apartment, like I'm good. I'm all right. I've got a little Trish in me, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's a weird thing because I have not ever really lived alone. Like I lived at home with my parents and then in college had roommates. Mm-hmm. And then after college, my wife and I got married and we've lived together since then. So I haven't lived alone. So I would not want to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't mean like never, but I just mean like, that would not be the choice. I wouldn't run out and just like, I got to find a roommate, but I do a lot of other stuff alone, like travel for baseball. And I spend a lot of time alone. I don't have any problem with that at all. Mm-hmm. It just depends on that. Like, I think it's better when you have people around. It's more fun. It's more entertaining. But there are times where, you know, like as an example, when I'd go to cover spring training, typically it would be me because the other guys, like, you know, my friends there that sometimes would have to work when I didn't have to work, like on weekends. And I'd just go do a couple days down in Miami by myself. And I was cool with that. But it's only a couple days, though. It wouldn't be like a week.
Another weird thing like this. Andrew is working behind the scenes to try to get me a flight with the Blue Angels next year. And everyone I've told this to in my life has laughed in my face.
Well,
because I hate to fly even Southwest Airlines.
Well, that's fair.
That is a good point. Like,
yeah. I wasn't going to say anything.
You know, but I told them, it's like, well, that's sort of like having driving anxiety. Like, I don't like driving. This isn't me. I don't really have driving anxiety. But like, if you do, and you don't want to drive to Schnucks because someone might T-bone you, but you get a chance to do an IndyCar ride along.
Right.
It's kind of different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It depends on where the fear is rooted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it rooted in just the act of being in the air, or is it about the circumstance? Because you're in a fighter jet, you're in a multi-million-dollar weapon flown
with
by one of the most
elite
pilots on the planet. That's a different thing than just a normal situation.
Yeah. And I'm not going to crash. But if I did.
Good way to go.
Yeah.
They got ejecto seats anyway.
You know?
That you'd get to do skydiving if there was a problem.
Ejecto seats. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Boom.
My last thought was one of my existential thoughts. Do you guys ever watch Aerial America?
No.
You ever seen that show? Mm-mm. Oh my God, it's the best. It is the best cozy time waster. And it's just, it's old enough now that it was probably a helicopter or a plane. And they went, they did all 50 states and it's everything's from the sky. And it's like St. Louis, Missouri, the Gateway
Arch. Oh, is it just
the
visual and narrated a little bit?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yes. But you know how I am on philosophic. It made me think that's how life is with humans, and especially with social media, that we're showing everyone our aerial America. We're showing everyone our life from 10,000 feet, and everything looks beautiful from 10,000 feet. I'm sure if they landed that plane and showed you the real stuff, you'd be like, that's kind of scuzzy.
You zoom in the wrong place.
Right.
Hey, look, there's a dilapidated factory.
Exactly. Dave Murray joins us at the bottom of the hour. Find out just how long it's going to be this hot. Sweet 16, top of the hour. Going to do some audio here, but first question for you, Wheels. Now that I'm re-engaged with baseball, and I'm seeing everything and watching everything and reading everything, it seems to me that there's a cottage industry of writing articles about who should be traded to who for what, and none of them ever come true.
No, because they're not based on probabilities or, well, some of them are. So it all depends on who you're reading, right? If you're reading a reporter, Ken Rosenthal, Buster Olney, they are now reporting things that they're hearing from sources about conversations. That's a different thing than an analyst or a radio guy like me or whatever saying, you know what would be a good fit? What if these two teams got together? Because they see, yeah, we can look at it and say that looks like a fit. It doesn't mean the teams see it that way. So it is all about who you're seeing it. And it's that time of year right now where you're going to see a big mix of all of those things. And, you know, a guy that I know a little bit, not super well, but Jim Bowden works for MLB Network Radio, and I did some work with him on there. We went to spring training right before COVID to cover the Washington Nationals together. Again, really smart guy, used to be a GM in the major leagues, right? He used to work in the front offices, but sometimes he writes articles and he puts it like trade ideas. He did it actually today for The Athletic. And people are like, well, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, like, it does on that surface level where you're, like, matching puzzle pieces. But that doesn't mean the teams have any interest in those things. It doesn't mean they're actually even talking. So there are different levels to kind of understand how they're approaching it.
Where do you think we are now vis-a-vis the trade deadline and buying, selling?
Well, John Mozeliak has said they're not selling. I mean, they're talking about buying. They've talked, I think he mentioned looking at another starting pitcher maybe, because that's probably everybody's going to be looking for that though. You're probably going to want to look to add another bullpen arm because you're working the bullpen hard, which is fine. They're doing great, but having more will always be a good thing. And you're going to have to keep your eyes open for offense, but the problem is nobody has any spare offense. That's going to be a more difficult thing to do. The real problem with figuring it all out though is there's only a few teams that are out of it. There's only a few teams that you could say today are sellers. We talked about it with Ron and Amy earlier. There's only two teams in the National League that are out of it, the Marlins and the Rockies. Well, they're bad for a reason. They're bad because they don't have enough good players. So it's not like they're going to make that many trades. They might have a few good players, but then you've got everybody that's a contender that's going to be interested in those players. And there are some bad teams in the American League that could make some moves too, but today, everything is so jumbled up, and you have all these teams in the National League that are all within a game and a half of each other. I don't know how many teams have actually made the declaration to themselves what they are.
What are we hearing about Walker?
Not much. It's been quiet. I mean, he's played in 38 games down in Memphis. He's got two home runs. You know, he's not hitting for much power. His slug, as we talked about this with Arenado and Goldschmidt earlier, right? Jordan Walker's game is supposed to be a power game. He's 6 foot six. He's 270 pounds, 260 pounds. He's supposed to be a power guy, and he does hit the ball very hard, but, you know, he's got 154 at bats with two home runs, and he's slugging under 400. Now, if he had a whole bunch of doubles and triples and that slug goes higher, that's fine. Slug is slug no matter how you put it together. Doubles and triples count as power, but there's not enough of that right now to say, yep, promote him and bring him into the big leagues. Not that you couldn't. He could be fine in the big leagues. This is not that you couldn't do him. But the point is, who is he better than in the corner outfield spots right now? Is he better than Brendan Donovan? I'm not sure about that, because Brendan Donovan's a high-end on-base guy. And on the other side, is he going to be better than what Alec Burleson is providing for you on offense? I mean, probably not. Burleson's been better this year than Walker has been.
Better than some of our bench guys?
He could be, but they don't want him on the bench. He's a developmental player who's only 21 years old. The last thing you want is a 21-year-old guy, 22, sorry, he's 22 now. You don't want that guy sitting. They want that guy playing so that he can get through whatever they're trying to get him through. Now, later in the year, when you get near the end of the minor league season, it's more likely. And if he gets hot, I bet they call him up. Like, if he starts, if he goes off on like a 7 or 8 day tear and he rips 3 or 4 home runs, they probably would look to try to get him in the lineup. But, you know, it's tough when you have a lot of guys. I mean, and they're not the most powerful offense in the world right now. But when you're adding up the spots that are available on a day-to-day basis, you know, if and when Nootbaar comes back and if and when Tommy Edman comes back, where are you going to put him unless he's producing to the point where you have to bring him up because he's so good?
So if we do go after another good starting pitcher or reliever, would it necessarily be trading off one of our good guys, or could we just buy them?
That's a good question. You might be able to find a situation where somebody is just trying to offload salary, and you would give up less to do that. But the teams that are typically trying to move a salary are trying to move a salary of a player that is not performing. So maybe you think you could fix somebody. You know, you look at it and say, because the Cardinals kind of did this a little bit a few years ago. Remember when they traded for John Lester and they traded for Jay Happ, and they were terrible in their previous spots, but the Cardinals got them and fixed them up a little bit and they were better and they didn't give up much for them. They just took on salary. That's a possibility, but that's not going to be impact, right? That's going to be guys that are, you know, adding depth. I think if they're going to do anything, it should be adding someone that fits right behind Sonny and right ahead of your other starters as a potential playoff starter. So, you know, probably somebody that's pitching at least as well as Kyle Gibson is what you would want to target. Unless you just need innings, in which case, you know, you go get him wherever you have to.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
337 DGS. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Seems like forever since we have talked.
Yeah, it does seem like a while.
A couple of baseball games got in the way, but that's okay. That's okay. So, we have not hit 100 degrees yet.
Okay.
So we got that going for us.
Good, 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 good. Is there any reason to believe that this hellish week will be a little less hellish than what we thought before?
No, it's about the same. The only thing that I'm kind of seeing out in the distance here is Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I think the humidity is going to be knocked down a little bit. It's a little more of a southwest flow. And then we do have a cool front coming in sometime during the day on Sunday. That's pretty far out. And that should help knock things back a little bit, at least get the northwest flow in here for a couple of days anyway.
And Dave, eventually, because you know me, I'm feeling like this is it. This is the rest of the summer. It's 99 degrees every single day because like the 7 and the 10 days just look horrible.
Right.
But this isn't even normal for like middle of July or August, right?
I like something like this in July and into August. It's a little weird for June to get locked in like this, to have our first real summer heat wave in June. A little unusual. It's not super weird, but it's a little unusual.
Okay. Flesh it out for us for the week.
All right. So, you know, same kind of story tomorrow. 93 for the high. It's hot. It's humid. Southerly flow. And because the humidity will be up there, we have to at least keep the chance of a pop thunderstorm in the afternoon. There's a little bit of action out there right now, but nothing really close to home. 75 Tuesday night, 94 on Wednesday. Thursday, sunny, hot. Moderate humidity, 96 degrees. Friday and Saturday, sunny, hot, moderate humidity, 99 on Saturday. We should be a little bit cooler on Sunday with an increase in shower and thunderstorm activity. Summer officially begins the season Thursday at 3:50 in the afternoon, and the full moon is Friday, known as the strawberry moon. And the first tropical system, the first named storm, may be in order in the southwest Gulf of Mexico, the Bay of Campeche. So that could get a name here in the next 24 hours.
Okay.
That's right on schedule.
Can we name it Dame Glover, since we were talking about naming things for you earlier?
No.
Dang it.
Well, you
didn't even get an opinion.
Dang it. Dame
Nope. You have to talk to the World Meteorological Association.
We can do
organization.
That.
Yeah, that guy owes me money ahead. Anyway.
Send him, say, yeah, that's it. How much you want to offer?
Do they have anything to do with the Egg Council?
Headlines, Rach.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Since we're talking about the heat, according to medical experts, heat waves can exacerbate anxiety, stress, and irritability. It could also impact behavior, leading to a rise in aggression, more domestic violence incidents, road rage incidents, and higher crime rates. So stay safe out there, folks.
Hey, speaking of emotions, last night we watched Inside Out, the original.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't know if you guys, that was a great movie. Really looking forward to number two now, which had an unbelievable opening weekend.
Yeah, it had the best opening since Barbie, which is saying something. Yeah. One more story about the heat. This is just kind of a little PSA out there for all of the young parents with little kids. Beware of burns from hot playground equipment, especially those metal slides. Make sure you put your hand on it first before you let your kid go down, because that could be bad.
I have had those.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, we were like,
we all have.
Also, bare feet on asphalt.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Extra care on that, too.
Not great.
And check your back seats.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Don't leave your kid in the car.
It's crazy that cars have that now. The little warning.
Yeah,
that's
so like don't forget your kid.
Don't forget to look in the back seat. Make sure there's not a kid back there. It's like, what?
The U.S.
That senses my dogs are back there, too.
Oh, that's nice.
That's good, too. Don't leave them in there either.
The CDC is warning Americans about a possible shortage in obtaining Adderall, a key treatment for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD. Over 40,000 Americans could be affected by the shortage, according to the CDC.
And why is there a shortage?
I don't know exactly why there is a shortage, Dave. I apologize for that.
As long as you apologize.
I do.
Damn it, Rach.
I don't have all the answers. The IRS is looking for a way to close the tax loophole for the wealthy. The new rules target a practice known as the partnership basis shifting, where assets are moved around to different parties to avoid paying taxes.
We're such schmucks. Oh, my God. The partnership, blah, 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 blah. We don't do anything. We don't do jack crap. I just pay my damn taxes.
Right.
IRS officials call it a shell game that allows wealthy taxpayers to avoid paying what they owe.
Oh, and I'm sure they're right on that. I'm sure it's going to happen anytime now. I'm being ironic right now.
Are you saying you weren't being serious?
Putin is going to meet with Kim Jong-un. I'd love to be a fly on the wall
Putin's
for that
Putin
conversation.
Because his name's Putin. I think he just took so much crap as a little Russian kid.
He just got mean.
Yeah, he just got mean.
From what I understand, and that's not a lot of research. This is just from the documentary that was about the Cold War. And he was just kind of like an annoying dude in the, what do you call it? The
KGB.
The KGB. Like, he wasn't like a super agent or something. He was actually kind of like internal affairs. Like, he was spying on the internal people to make sure they weren't doing bad things. And he got in with the mayor of St. Petersburg, who was basically tied to the mob. And that was kind of how he got... He got his power. He started doing things with the Russian mob. Now I'm going to get killed. Sorry.
No, started from the bottom. Now he's here.
I'm dead. Well,
I'm not going to criticize the guy.
I'll get poisoned in a month.
This will be their second meeting in 9 months. So, all right. Have fun, guys. A Yellowstone tourist gets jail time for trespassing near a geyser. This is a crazy story. So Steamboat Geyser is the world's most dangerous geyser due to its unpredictable eruptions that can launch 300 feet in the air, and this 21-year-old kid was trying to take photos, so, you know, behind the line where he doesn't need to be. He's going to have to pay a $1,550 fine and is banned from Yellowstone for 2 years and will also spend 7 days in jail for his trespassing stunt.
Idiot.
This is like...
What's wrong, Dave?
Just everything. Everything everyone's doing, it's like...
Like, just leave it at that.
My mom and dad used to go to Vegas and leave me home alone way too young. way too young for me, like 13, 14 years old. For some people, that's fine. You can babysit other kids. For me, don't leave Dave alone. And
still true today.
And just, you know, all that stuff would happen, and I didn't run the household well. And it just, it feels like the parents of the world have left and left teenagers in charge, and now we're just running the government stupid, and we're just walking up and slapping bison. It's like, we're just, where are the grown-ups?
Well, those are some grown-ups doing that.
Yeah, but they're not real. You know what I mean? It just feels like the real grown-ups of the world have just checked out for a while. They've just gone to Vegas and left us alone.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that. It's just like, how can the real grown-ups discipline the grown-up children? You know, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, the Surgeon General is calling for warning labels on social media platforms. This has been all over the news today. You guys seen this story?
No.
So in an essay for the New York Times, the U.S. Surgeon General said social media can be dangerous to the mental health of teenagers, causing anxiety and depression if used for more than 3 hours per day. He wants warning labels to increase awareness and change behavior, prompting parents to limit their children's access.
Do you think that would do anything at all?
No. And no. Also, what one thing can you spend 3 hours a day on that's not going to be bad for you in some way?
It's a great point.
Watching TV. What? I mean,
playing golf.
Every day? If you're a teen, I'm talking about for teenagers, my bad.
Okay.
I meant for the teen. Like, if you're doing something every day for 3 hours and it's
it
one thing.
It deserves a warning label.
It's something you're like, okay, don't get carried away because you got other things you've got to do. You've got other parts of your life. You need to be, you know, engaged in society and with human beings. Does anybody not know of the dangers of social media at this point?
Well, I'm sure there are some parents out there who are clueless, but I doubt that a label is going to change their behavior.
No. It's happy horse crap. Yeah. It's one of those things that's not going to change anything.
The Maryland Governor Wes Moore is set to sign an executive order granting 175,000 pardons for marijuana convictions, forgiving low-level possession charges for around 100,000 individuals. This follows a constitutional amendment that voters approved in 2022, making recreational marijuana use legal in Maryland.
Makes sense.
I mean, can you imagine if you're in a state where cannabis is legal and you're in prison for the very thing? Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. All right. Celebrities turned out big for a Biden fundraiser hosted by President Joe Biden and former President Barack Obama. Stars like George Clooney, Julia Roberts, Barbara Streisand, and Jimmy Kimmel, our favorite, were among those in attendance. They raised more than $28 million for the Biden campaign. And one final story here. 1 in 6 adults now practices yoga. As of 2022, nearly 17% of adults ages 18 and older had practiced yoga in the one-year period before they were surveyed.
I stretched this morning.
Nice. That counts. Thanks, Dave.
Alrighty.
Some fun facts.
Yeah.
There's something, the opposite of procrastination, called precrastination, where you do everything as early as possible. The very second with some people, the very second that something can be done, they do it.
Nice.
Not necessarily. It can cause more stress than procrastination.
I was going to say, it seems like that would be pretty intense.
I don't see how.
I'm just thinking of like picking out your clothes for work the morning before or something. Like things like that can be very beneficial. But I guess if it's the very second you find out you have to do it, yeah, I could see how that would be like kind of obsessive compulsive and too much.
For better or worse, workplaces are getting rid of bosses. Middle manager layoffs have increased to more than 30% from pre-pandemic times. So what they're finding is people can manage themselves, something we've always known, that if you hire someone good and you give them their head and you let them do what they do and they do it, you don't need a middle manager watching them and yelling at them and trying to keep them in line, because then you have to have an upper middle manager who's watching the middle managers and it just kind of goes crazy. Yeah!